Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians, chapter 1. We'll read verses 7 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And let's finish on verse 11. Ready? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you do for us in this place. Lord, it sure is good to know that we're in a church to where your presence and your spirit is. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Father, may we have your spirit's power upon us to listen. Change our hearts. Change our lives. May we walk out much differently than the way we walked in so that we could help more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning, my heart is both tender and excited about today's sermon. I am so excited because I know in the next 35 or 40 minutes, I'm going to help you. I just know it. Part of me wants to jump ahead and tell you all that's in the sermon because I think if you came today to be helped, that's what's going to happen. People today are starved for something that's real. Just starved for it. Folks long for a Christianity that's not make-believe. The human race desires some authentic spirituality, a true moving of the Holy Spirit and not a man-made mimic. The people of today are seeking some genuine Christianity. They're searching for a church that's the real McCoy. I think if that's what you're searching for, you found one. The real McCoy. This is not a Hollywood production around here. It's a sincere church. You're not in a perfect church, but you're in a sincere church. We do not have a perfect congregation, but we have a sincere congregation. My staff is not a perfect staff, but they are a sincere staff. Philippians 1:10, the Bible says, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ. When this church chose me as their pastor, you could have found a pastor with a better sense of humor. You could have found a pastor that was a better preacher, more eloquent, more capable of public speaking. When you chose me as your pastor, you could have found a man that had a better mind for business. When you chose me as pastor, you could have found someone that had maybe better Bible knowledge than I do. You could have easily chosen someone with more capable leadership skills, maybe a better understanding of church finances. You dead sure could have got somebody better looking. Thank you from the peanut gallery. The only time he's ever said amen in his whole spiritual life. You could have found somebody to pastor this church with more experience, a higher education, a better personality. But I can tell you one thing. You would have struggled to find someone as sincere about what he does as I am. I'm not perfect, but I'm sincere. I could not boast of possessing any great quality, but I would like to boast of trying to possess sincerity. I made a remarkable discovery, and I'm so excited about it. I got to looking at the word sincere. The Bible says that ye may be sincere till the day of Christ. I looked up that word sincere so I could better understand it. It comes from two words. Sin, S-I-N-E, is the first word. And Sarah, or Sera, C-E-R-A, two words. Their definitions. Sin, S-I-N-E, means without. That means without. Sarah, C-E-R-A, means wax. Without wax. That's what the word sincere means. At first, I thought, well, how does that help me? I want to understand it. And then as I just looked at a touch of history, it became clear to me. Sincere. Without wax. The Roman builders would build and make many things out of marble. They may make a castle or a home out of marble. They would make their walls and their furniture out of marble. They would even make figurines, much like the statues and things that we might put place in our gardens. They would make it out of marble. Now, if they would accidentally slip while they were chipping away at that marble, and they would cause a flaw in the marble, there's something that they would do. They would take some wax, they would cover the flaw with that wax, because the wax would mold to that marble, and by so doing, they could cover their mistake, thereby producing a false appearance. Maybe if they were building a building out of marble, that building had some flaws in it where they chipped it wrong and it had some mistakes in it. They would then take wax and they would put it in the cracks of that building. But here's the problem. When the sun would come out after that building was finished, and if it got hot enough, the sun would melt the wax. The wax would roll down the side of the building, and eventually the true identity of that product would be revealed. Then those cracks that would be revealed because of the melting of the wax out of the cover-up, that would then make the crack accessible to the heat and the rain and all of that, and it would even make the cracks worse as they would expand because now they're uncovered to the elements. They do the same thing if they were chipping away at a figurine of some type, like an artist would do. Let me show you what I mean. I have a bunny up here. If an artist were chipping away at this bunny, he might use a chisel and a hammer that were made of marble. He would tap along and he would form it as an artist would. If that artist slipped, let's say he slipped and he was working on the bunny's nose. Now, if you're shocked at blood, get ready. I'm going to cut off the bunny's nose. If he slipped and he chopped the bunny's nose off, if that happened, well, now he has he's got a figurine, he's got an image that has no nose. So what would he do? I also have some wax. He would get some wax, he would place it in the place of that nose, and he would form it again to look like the bunny's nose. The only problem is, of course, be a fake nose. The only problem is, it wouldn't be a part of the structure. And then if they took that wax nose, stuck it out there on this bunny, in the heat of the day, the heat would come and bear down on that wax. And it would melt. And sooner or later, the fake nose job would be found out. Now, those of you that have had fake body parts, don't go out in the sun. You may just melt away. Now, that is exactly what the Bible's talking about when it uses the word sincere. That's where we get the word sincere. Without wax. When someone is sincere, it means they're not a put-on. You know, wax fruit can be very beautiful and very convincing, but it doesn't really feed anybody. It has no productive purpose. It's just for show. That's all. It's fake. It is the mimic of the real thing. Our family, we were, I think, up in Canada, and we visited what was called the Ripley's, believe it or not, Wax Museum. It is full of people, but they're all fake. All made of wax. It was full of wax people. Now they look real. They were phony. They were not real. It was full of insincere figures. What does that mean? Figures full of wax. If something is sincere, it is without wax. If it's insincere, it's full of wax. You know something? I don't want to be a part of wax religion. I don't want to pastor a church that is a wax church. The Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is not going to be a wax museum. That's the name of today's sermon. The Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is not a wax museum. I don't want us to have wax programs for our young people. I don't want us to have a wax school that is Christian only in name. I don't want to have a wax staff. I don't want to have wax music. I don't want to have wax musicians. I don't want to have wax spirituality, a wax congregation. I don't want us to have wax love. I don't want us to have wax standards of living and wax givers, wax loyalty and wax attitudes. Hey, do you give people the impression that our church is like so many others, made up of wax? Fake, just filler, not the real thing. There are four things that I found in the Bible that the Bible teaches us that we should be without wax sincere. Boy, I long for you that you're sincere. I long for you that your Christianity is without wax. I long for everybody's ministry and lives and families to be without wax, or that sincere. People are starved for something that's real. Starved for it. You know something? I cannot compete with Hollywood, but I can beat it. How can you beat that? Hollywood is fake. This is real. You can beat the fake with the real thing. We're not to be wax in our salvation. But we're to be sincere in regard to this one-time occurrence called salvation of the soul. Ephesians 6:24 says, "Grace be with all them that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." I want to point something out to you. It is by grace that ye are saved through faith. And here it's talking about that grace. And God is saying, I hope there has been a time when you sincerely received that grace and you got born again. In this verse here, it uses the word Lord. He cannot become your Lord unless you're born again. You do not make Him Lord to get born again. You get born again by making Him your Savior, and then you start the process of allowing Him to become your Lord. But it's talking about a saved person here. It's talking about the sincerity of salvation. Philippians 1:10 says that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. You know something? We're to be sincere until the day of Christ. Let me tell you something about salvation. On the day that you face Jesus Christ, everybody will know if you're saved.
If you're waxed over in regard to salvation on the day of Jesus Christ, you're going to become sincere. You're going to have to be real that day. I mean, if you died today and you face Jesus Christ today and you're not saved, your insincerity will be found out and you'll be cast into hell. You have either trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior or you have not. Now, if you have not, but you have waxed your life over to make yourself look saved, on the day of Jesus Christ, we'll figure out you're a wax job. Once you're saved, you're always saved. The Bible's very clear on that. But there needs to be a day and a time when you trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you got saved. You say, well, I have Catholicism in my background. Confirmation is a wax job. You must realize this. You must realize that you're a sinner and a bad one. And that there is a penalty for sin, that is death and hell for all eternity, separated from God. If you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. You say, that's rough. That's the truth, is what it is. So everyone's a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, burial, and resurrection. And if you will turn to Him, ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart, and be your Savior, He will save you. That's the only way to get saved. And if you've never done that, but you have roamed around making yourself look like a Christian or like you're on your way to heaven, you've done a wax job on salvation. There's only one way to get saved, and that's the Bible way. I just described it to you. You're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. Jesus died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. You either trust Him as Savior, or you die and go to hell. And everything else that every religion on the face of the earth, whether it's some off-base Baptist, or Pentecostal, or Catholic, or Mormon, or whatever it is, they're all wax jobs for heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ and making Him your Savior. Everything else is wax. And on the day of Jesus Christ, the heat is going to be on, and we'll find out, are you saved or have you not taken care of it? You can wax me over. You can wax your wife over. You can wax your husband over. You can try to fake us all out, but on the day of Jesus Christ, we'll find out, was there a day when you got born again? And if not, the wax will be melted away and you'll be cast into the fire. Confirmation is merely wax to smooth out your feelings about the things of God. But on the day that you face Christ, the wax will melt.
Yes, sir.
Baptism is a wax job.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, get baptized and go to heaven. Nowhere does the Bible say that. The Bible says that you're to get born again. You're to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That will get you to heaven. Baptism is merely a step of obedience after salvation. That's all. If somebody told you that you could get baptized and that water will get you to heaven, they lied to you. And if you've been depending on the fact that you were sprinkled, spat on, or whatever to get you to heaven, you've been doing a wax job on the real issue. The real issue is getting born again. Church membership will send you straight to hell if that's what you're depending on to get you to heaven. Someone said, you got to join the church. No, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior to get you to heaven. Joining this church will not get you to heaven. All sorts of churches out there just playing religion, doing a wax job on everybody. It's almost as if the church is a business, and we just got to get all these clients and get everybody signed up that we can. Well, I've got news for you. There's a real heaven. There's a real hell. And you're either going to die and go to heaven or die and go to hell. And everybody out there that's waxing this thing over, they're in big trouble. So you can join the church, but that's merely a wax job on salvation. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. Matthew 7:23 says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are going to be people at the time of their death, the time when they face God, they're going to come face to face with the Savior, and He is going to say to them, I never knew you. Notice, it did not say, I knew you and lost you. I knew you and you lost it. I knew you and then I forgot you. It said, I never knew you. Now, either he knows you or he does not know you. Either you know him as Savior or you don't know him as Savior. You can't lose it once you get it, but you got to have it.
That wax job of religion. What do you depend on gets you to heaven? You say, I do good works. I'm glad you do. I want you to. Good works will not get you to heaven. Only one good work will get you to heaven. It was the good work done by Jesus Christ of His death, burial, and resurrection. So I'm doing pretty good. You could not do good enough to earn your way to heaven. If you're depending on your good works to get you to heaven, you're doing a wax job on this thing called salvation. And the day that you face Christ, the wax will melt. You'll be cast into hell. You say, you're trying to scare me? Not at all. I'm trying to help you. You say, well, I believe there is a God. I'm glad you do. That won't get you to heaven. So I believe in man and in the existence of God. So does the devil. Believing that there is a God is not salvation. Just because you believe there is a God, that is not trusting His Son's death, burial, and resurrection for your salvation. You can believe there is a God straight into hell. And everybody that's in hell believes there's a God too. It is realizing you're a sinner, you deserve to go to hell, you can't save yourself, there's nothing good enough about you to save yourself, turning to Him saying, I'll turn my entire eternity over to over to you, I'll trust what your word says. Your word says I'm a sinner, your word says I deserve hell, your word says I've got to trust the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'll do it. And at that moment, when you trust, you get saved. Anything else is a wax job. There are a lot of people even confused about this. Being saved from near death does not mean that you got born again or spiritually saved. Getting born again is not a physical salvation of your life. It's a spiritual salvation. You see, there are those people who said, well, I was almost in an automobile accident, and I cried out to God and said, God, oh, save me from this wreck. You made it through the wreck, and you lived, and you thought because of that you're on your way to heaven. No, you just got saved from a wreck. So if you've been thinking, well, I was near death, and I was in the hospital, and I cried out to God that He would save my life, and He did. Good. I'm glad you did. But you're not on your way to heaven because of that. He salvaged your life to keep you alive long enough so you could hear the truth about spiritual life. You now need to turn to Him and say, I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sin. Come into my heart and save me. I trust what Jesus did, His death, burial, and resurrection. I trust Him as Savior. I now receive Him. Bang! At that moment, you're saved. But having your life saved is not being spiritually saved. Answer this question. If you died this moment, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If you say, I'm not sure of that, then I would recommend you get saved. Stop waxing this thing over. You say, well, Brother Owens, I've been a member of this church for a long time. Look, you need to get born again if you're not saved. Say, I would be embarrassed. Look, get the wax off your salvation. Stop waxing this thing over. Say, I'm a member of the choir. Don't play with the wax in regard to your salvation. I beg of you. I promise you, this is a sincere church. If you're not saved and you've been a member here forever, get saved today. See, what will people think? We'll be glad that we got the wax out of your salvation. We'll be happy for you. We'll rejoice for you. Don't let the devil fool you into taking the wax job straight to hell. Wonder how many people got into the church and they gave the impression they were a Christian and they walk like and talk like and dress like and act like a Christian, but they're not born again. They'll die and go to hell because of their pride, and let their pride take them straight to hell because they don't want to take the wax out of the cracks of their salvation. They don't want to, a real nose. You know, wax themselves straight to hell. And the Bible says,
it says, that she may approve things that are excellent, that she may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. And the day of His appearing, you're either going to face Him as a saved person or as a lost person. Bang, it's over. I recommend you don't play with wax in regard to going to heaven. If you're here in a little while, I'll give an invitation. I'll say, if you're not saved, you come down here. You walk up to one of the men that will be standing at the end of each aisle and you say, I want to settle this thing of my salvation once and for all. I want you to do it once and for all. You never do it. You never have to do it again. But some of you, you're religious and I'm glad. And you come to church and I'm glad. And you've been baptized and I'm glad. And you get money and I'm glad. And you're trying to be a good person and I'm glad. Hey, but do me one more favor. Make me glad today. Get born again. Get born again. I don't want a church that's a wax museum. Number two, we are not to be wax in regard to our preaching, but we are to be sincere. Philippians 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. I believe that God has started a work, and I believe this. I believe the Bible teaches in preaching there should be some sincerity. The sermons that you hear from this pulpit, they may not be the most interesting that you've ever heard. They may not be the most entertaining that you've ever heard. They might not be the most motivating sermons you've ever heard. They might not be the most deeply, theologically presented sermons you've ever heard. They might not be the best constructed or the most memorable or the most intellectual sermons you've ever heard. But I can say one thing about the sermons that are preached from this pulpit. They are sincere. I come here with the intent of helping you. I told you earlier, I've been so excited. I just know if you're listening to what I'm saying, you're learning something from the Bible. I just know it. I feel like I can help you. That's what I want to do. I'm not trying to impress any person with my preaching. No one. I do not care who you are. I don't care if you're a visitor. I don't care if you're you've been around this church for 100 years. It doesn't matter. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to help everybody. That's all. The Bible teaches us in Philippians that we should be sincere in regard to the preaching of the Word of God. You know what I want to do? I want to help everybody here. Desperately. I want to help you. Those of you that are lost, you're not saved. Some of you that you've given the impression you're saved and you're not, and your conscience is heavy right now. I'm doing that to help you. Those of you that are not born again, I couldn't have made it more clear to you than what I just did. I'm trying to help you, not to hurt you. Do you young Christians, those of you that are saved, but you've not been in our church for long, I'm trying to help you today. If you've seen a lot of phony Christianity, that's not how it's supposed to be. We almost get sucked into this thing and we think, well, I guess everybody's supposed to be phony. I guess you're supposed to act like a Christian but not live like a Christian. I guess you're supposed to go to the church and put up a front and then go out in the world, live any way you want, do anything you want, go anywhere you want, be with anyone you want. That's not real. And I rebel against the thought that that's real.
Right.
So you young Christians, if you see somebody from our church and say, they said they've been there for 20 years, and the other day I seen them doing this, that, is that what I'm supposed to do? If they're doing wrong, no, they're not real. They're not real. They're putting up a religious front. I'm not for that. Now, I'll love them, and I'm their friend. But I'll tell you something. I want to help the young Christians here. You know something? Those of you that have been in the church and around the things of God for many, many years, you veterans, I work very hard to make sure you get fed when I preach. Very hard. I don't want to just feed the infants. But I've got to figure out a way to give the infants the milk while I give a guy like Paul Mongan meat. Paul's just been around since Noah built the ark. Matter of fact, he financed it. I sat today in Dr. Smith's here.
probably the most intimidating person that sits in these pews is when I look back and see the veteran, the pastor of this church for 35 years. He's my hero. But you know something, Brother Smith? I want to help you too. I'm here to serve you too. I have the privilege of being his pastor. As a preacher, my whole goal is to help you. I preached a sermon. My candidacy sermon when I became the pastor here is called "Please Don't Vote for Me." I promise you, you listen to it all you want. I was sincere as I could be from the opening remarks to the concluding remarks. There's no wax there. I preached a sermon not long after I got here. It was called "Please Put Me on Your List." I was sincere. I preached a sermon not long ago called "I Will Not Use My People to Build My Work, but I'll Use My Work to Build My People." I mean that from the depths of my heart. I'm not trying to get anything out of you. I'm trying to put some things into you that will give you a glorious life, and that's the whole concept of that sermon. Hey, if you'd do me a favor, if I preach something that you don't like, will you give me one break? Would you just remember this? When I've irritated you, the man that preached that truth that you don't like, if you just remember this, if you can say, "I think he's sincere. I think he's sincere." Preachers are not supposed to be entertainers. Let me tell you what I think preachers are supposed to be: sincere servants to God and to the people that they love. You're going to find this out if you haven't already. With me, what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. Hey, listen, I do not struggle to find truth to preach to you. I struggle making sure it can sincerely apply to your life to help you. We're to be sincere. If you're not saved, you need to take care of it. Get the wax out of that salvation job, that fake job that you've got going. You and God are the two people that know that you're saved, and you may wax it over to everybody else in this world, but the day you face God, you'll go to hell if you don't get saved. Men in our preaching, and anybody here that ever teaches the Bible or preaches the Bible, let's remove the wax. No wax. Let's be sincere in what we do. Thirdly, we are not to be wax in our love, but we are to be sincere in our love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 8, the Bible says, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." There's that word sincere again, without wax. I tell you this. I love my Lord more today than I ever have. You know what I want, Brother Dula? When I say, "Lord, I love you," I'd like it if he could look down and say, "I know you do." See, God knows whether I'm sincere, and I wish God were able to say, "Jeff Owens sincerely loves me." That's not a put on. That's not a wax job. "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Make me a sweet, sweet sound in your ear." I love God. I really do, Brother Ronnie. I love him. I love him. And I want God to get some love that's real. Do you really love him? Think about it. When was the last time you told him? If you told him, what did he say? "Hey, long time no see." We're not to be wax in our love. I love my wife. "Honey, I love you. I love you so much. I'm enjoying, as though we're not old, but we're not as young as what we used to be. We used to ride bikes together. Now we ride the four-wheeler together. I have a little red wagon I hook up to the back of my four-wheeler. We're not to the point where we're giving each other rides. But listen, I love my wife. And I mean that. I love her very deeply. There's not been one lady, to my knowledge, in all my ministry, there's not been a lady inappropriate with me. Throw herself at me. I often ask the Lord, I say, Lord, I'm so glad you have spared me from that. But let me tell you something. Wouldn't do you any good. I am madly in love with my wife. I'm enjoying the life that we spend together. I want you to know something. I not only love my Lord as much as I always have and more today than ever, my wife, I love my children. I watched my daughter sing earlier. I love you, Charlotta. I love you so much. I love my son, Jeff. I'm proud of him. I love you, son. I love my son, Joshua. I love my daughter-in-law, Corey. I love you, Corey, very much. I'm glad you're part of our family. I love my son, Jeremiah. I love you, son. Just keep working at it, buddy. Your daddy loves you. You know what? I like when I tell someone that I love them, I like him to say, I believe him. Wouldn't you like it? When you love people, for them to say, she means that. I love my staff. I love these guys that sit on here on the platform this morning. But Gu and I love you. I believe in you, buddy. I love you. Josh, I love you. Brother Bush, you know, I love you. What a friend. Brother Young, I love you. I've grown to love this fella, and I am so impressed with what I've seen in his life. Brother Nash, I love you. I've been telling you that for years. The guys that are not here, there's some guys that are taking care of Junior. I love them. I love my staff's family. Those of you that you married one of these assistant pastors, I just don't care about your husband or your daddy. I love you too. To the children of our staff members, Brother Owens loves you. To the wives, Mrs. Owens and I, we love you very much. You know, I get a little tired of this world and its phoniness. What's wrong? What's wrong with Christianity? Wake up! I'm not supposed to be living in this facade of a world and acting like it. I love that book. I love it. I treasure it. I used to respect it and would admire it, but today I love it. I love it. I love the Bible. I love praying. I love to pray. I was thinking yesterday morning, it was time for us to pray, and Brother Malat and I. And Brother Chuck Little, we all got on our knees. And we prayed, and I guess we prayed about 35 minutes or so. And the hardest part of the whole prayer, Brother Chuck, was this. I had to say amen, which was signing off for now. I feel like I could have just stayed there another hour. And God says, we need to get some sincerity about what we love. If you love your husband, tell him and mean it. If you love your wife, tell her and mean it. If you love your Lord, tell him and mean it. If you're a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, let me make you a promise. I'm going to figure out a way to make sure you know I love you. I'm trying right now. Travis, I love you. John, I love you. Josh, I love you. I mean that. Brother Matt, Brother Morales, Brother Brown, I love you. Ricky, I love you. I love the people of this church. God has given me a unique and a special love, and I'm so glad I had both the responsibility and the privilege of, we said goodbye to Tony Nicely this week. I look over here and see some of his family members. We did a funeral. Tony was a member of our church. He wasn't a faithful member, but he was a member. And Tony didn't live like we would have wanted him to live. I'll tell you this. I love Tony. I love Tony. I was Tony's friend. And I'm proud to be the pastor of Tony Nicely. I stood there before that crowd and I said to all of them, some of you don't know me well, but I'll tell you something. If you need a friend, I'll be your friend. You know what, Tina? I'm in every word of it. I'm in every word of it. Can anyone tell that your love is sincere? Is your love wax? Is your love wax with your wife? Wax with your husband? Wax with your kids? Wax for your mom? Wax for your dad? Wax for the lost? Listen, folks, Hollywood's love is all wax. Lust is all wax. Adultery, all wax. All the romance novels and all the impurity and impropriety that it all promotes, it's all wax. It's all wax. We need to learn to be real. We need to learn to be real. There are these two blondes and they are walking down the street. When one of them looked down and found a mirror, she picks it up, she looks at it and says, "Wow, I know this person. I've seen this person somewhere before." The other blonde grabs that mirror, looks at it and says, "Obviously, dummy, it's me." Hey, when you look at your reflection in the mirror, how much wax, how much put on is there? How much in the spiritual mirror of reflection is not really you? Hey, we're not to be wax in our salvation. We're not to be wax in our preaching. We're not to be wax in our love. And let me finish with this. We're not to be wax in our service to God, but we're to be sincere. Joshua 24, verse 14, the Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Here it is talking about sincerity in our service to God. Get rid of the wax. Be real about your service to God. We need to learn to fear the Lord without wax. Fear the Lord without wax. Don't say you fear Him and then go out and live contrary to His teaching. That's wax. You're talking the religious game. You're playing the Christian game. We'll just take all these religious things and form them around our life and fill in the cracks. We're not real, but see, let's see how real we can make ourselves look. Let's pop into the church long enough and gather up some good wax, and we'll take it out and we'll put it all over our body and we'll make ourselves look like we live what was preached, but we won't really live what was preached. We can talk the religious talk and walk the religious walk, but we're not truly right with God. Stop the religious put on. Get real at home. Get real at work. Get real out of the congregation site. Get real off the property. Get real when I'm not around. Get real. Stop trying to impress everybody by your service to God and start serving Him. Amen. Drop your front. Come out of hiding. You teach separation, but you practice worldliness. Don't wax it over. Hey, is your seat in the choir or the part that you sing all waxed over? Why are you doing that? Why are you sitting back there? Well, to leave, somebody might think there's something wrong with me. That's the only reason you're staying. Go ahead and leave. There is something wrong with you. Because the truth of the matter is, we ought to be up here singing as unto the Lord. Because we believe what we sing. Hey, those of you that serve on the deacon board, only you and God know this. You got a lot of wax in your life. Hey, bus captain, time to get some wax out of your life. Bus worker, bus driver. Bus drivers ought to live right too. People look up there, see who's driving that bus. They're going to say, look at that guy right there. He's from the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I'm going to guess all the people out there are like him. Hey, Sunday school teacher, is your class built on wax? Hey, assistant teacher, doing a wax job in your life, filling all the cracks because they're not real. Well, when the heat is on, believe me, the wax will melt. Hey, usher, soul winner, greeter, school staff, nursery worker. Hey, those of you that stand up here and sing specials, you an entertainer? Well, I've got a good voice. I deserve to sing. You deserve to go to hell. That's what you deserve. We all deserve to go to hell. To sing is a privilege and an honor, and it ought to be done because you're right with God, and the words you're singing are your testimony. Or is your music just wax? Hey, this church is made up of all of its members. You say, I'm a member of this church, but I've not been here in 3 years. Well, you're responsible if you're a member of this church. You're responsible for the reputation that you give this church. People know you're a member of this church. And if people don't, God does. Hey, how much wax do we have in our congregation? How much wax? How many people are at home tomorrow if somebody knocked on their door and said, we'd like to invite you to our church? They would say, oh, I'm a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, but they stayed home all day today. Could you maybe recognize some wax in somebody's life? How much wax do we have? How much wax is in the balcony this morning? How much wax is on this platform? How much wax are in these pews? Do you just go through the motions? Do you love him? Are you a greeter because it gets you a little attention? Hey, let's remove the wax. Let's remove the wax when we sing congregational songs. Well, what kind of wax are you talking about? How about the song, I Surrender All? How much wax you got to pump into your life while you're singing that song? Because what you really mean is, I only surrender a little. I surrender some. I love the kids' song. They sing, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Huh. Yeah, it is. To what degree do you obey the Word of God? How much wax do you have to fill your life to make yourself look obedient when you're not truly? Get the wax out of your loyalties in your life. Stop being two-faced with people. You know what? I am tired of the counterfeit. I am tired of imposters. I'm tired of make-believe, deception, the bogus, the forged, the sham artists, the fakes, the masqueraders, the pretenders, the frauds, the hypocrites, the wax Christians. You know what we need? We need an old-fashioned dose of sincerity. Without wax. That is the kind of Christian I would like to be. I'm working at it. And that's the kind of church I'd like to pastor. And we're working at it. If you're here today and you're not born again, I invite you to the Savior. whether you've waxed over some of this issue of salvation or not, listen, you need to get born again if you're not saved. Get it cared for. If you're in the balcony, the lower floor, if you work here, if you teach a Sunday school class, if you're a bus worker, if you're a visitor, if you've been in this church forever, if you're not born again, don't wax over your salvation. And the day of the Lord, your wax is going to melt and you'll be cast into hell. There's got to be a time when you trust in Christ. Some of you need to use this altar. You're saved and you know it, but there's some of you got a lot of wax in your life.